Yo, this is V, aka Vernon English, once again. Now, okay, don't listen. You can, okay, this is V, this is the Hearing Colors to Kill Sounds podcast. You can binge and listen to all of these podcasts, but I want you to expand it out. So if you like chilling or whatever and you like down, or if you're like, oh, I'm a writer. being a writer. And you, as a writer, you like in one of your writer's rants, you could like listen to this and you could like laugh, sip some coffee, smoke a spliff, or smoke weed. It's weed in it, okay? Marijuana. And laugh at another writer telling you some whimsical stories in the wind that'll make you chuckle. Okay? Okay, good, good, good. So, basically, where I'm at right now, and this is basically a writer's room, and so I get to blurb off all the things from a writer's perspective to other writers and non-writers to, you know, converse on many different aspects of what creatively we are experiencing. And so it's a lot. Like, people have a lot of stuff to talk about. Like, it's amazing. I love the rhetoric. I love the dialogue. I love everyone having this, you know, opinion on things. And the podcast series that I'm looking at always, you know, give different perspectives or give people a different, I guess that is a perspective of saying it, or a notion, where usually we would hear people their highlights on a Sports Center, or we would see, you know, these things that they've done. But actually the things that go into it is a mentality. And what I'm constantly being reaffirmed with is how someone has a mentality or holds this mentality and how it exudes from what someone is saying. And I obviously get when someone is telling me something or veiled and, you know, just speaking this or that or speaking about the things that they've done. And as a writer, you have to, you know, appreciate, you know, someone taking the time to showcase that verbally throughout our context and our culture. But I also appreciate when someone breaks the wholesomeness part about living and how intricate that can be. And so I'm looking at, you know, culture, I'm looking at, you know, music, I'm looking at all these things that I want to put in my stories. And I have, you know, this time period that I'm in between the middle of my year. And then as I go and progress more and expand more, I want to incorporate all of these things and all of these different art styles with this. And placing the value onto something is a funny thing, because it's just what you determine as you want is to be important and the subject matter. And that's just what you're telling someone, but it the substance and the point of significance of stating it is what is important to you. It doesn't necessarily have to be important to anybody. And I always talk about, as a writer, you know, spending time doing things for yourself, relaxing, you know, watching things. And one of the best things that I love is, you know, politics. But wait. Let me explain. Now, there's the politics with lawyers, and then there's the politics with, you know, the government and politics and stuff like this. I like the politics with lawyers because it's very hilarious and it's very practical and it makes no sense. But it makes sense. That's how I love what lawyers do. Because, say for instance, if I am a company and I own said rights of an individual and the likeness of the individual, and you buy a likeness for a certain amount of time, but I have the ability to, you know, have it in my stipulation and my contract that it can only be this way and only that way, never this way. That generally, you kind of, you know, surmises, you know, a Disney Marvel situation. But hey, I'm not gonna, you know, sneak this DC and all of their amazing things that they've done and their characters via television and animated movies and movies. What I'm saying is that the politics that go behind this character was named Daredevil, and it's a great, great series. And there's many things, as you know, a film aficionado, which I am not. If an assistant director or a director came to me and was like, "Yo, what film 32 lens was you shooting on? Was it fisheye? Did you like have like, you know, a moving crane, or was it like on a wheel set?" I wouldn't know the machine. If they're asking me about a sound boom guy, I wouldn't even know how to even record that. Some program on, I think, that they recorded and put it on Apple, and then, you know, have it as an editing. So I don't even know the name of that program. But anyway, just to talk about Daredevil is a gift, because people always want to know the best, you know, from film to, you know, source material adaptation that has been depicted. And there's so many different interpretations. As a fan, we were inundated with someone else's interpretation by default, which is a great thing. I mean, being in Los Angeles, you have to appreciate someone taking the money as a producer and being like, "Yo, I want to put this up because I want to see this. I want to know other people will see this, and it's going to be great." And it's just, for that alone, you had to take into consideration of how, over a period of time, 100 years, the things that people are used to today were not around even when I was a kid. Like, there's no way somebody was checking for a Fantastic Four movie. Like, not in 1987. I'm just saying, like, I mean, first and foremost, people, this was a different time period. People thought I was a nerd and probably wouldn't even listen to my podcast. But thank you to my listeners. Hit the subscribe button. Thank you so much. And two, like, the level of importance, like, people going and sitting there, their asses in seats. I don't know if that's the same draw that, you know, different science fiction films would have at the time. But, you know, Batman came through, smashed all of those doors back in the early 90s and 80s. And those are cool, but still, to me as a fan, you know, I'm, you know, like, scale from 1 to 10, you got to give me, like, a cool C on, like, the lore of DC and Marvel Comics. And I don't even have a backup, or what do you call this, an ology or a comicology of, or, you know, an index of all of these comics. But what I'm ailing at, and the reason I'm meandering, is because Daredevil is a great, great series to anyone looking, and I'll say this again, for a comic to film adaptation. Like, it is the best, bar for bar. Like, the origin story, to the action sequences, to actually even showing a beginning or origins character to his original character before he even got his, you know, outfit, before he even got, you know, his look, and how that even came about is in the comic books itself. Like, this comic book series from Netflix is like, they went over every single detail to a T. Like, went to almost, I don't even know, the original creators and asked them, like, "Yo, can we use this guy who actually made Daredevil's suit and, like, put him in our show? And then, like, show, you know, his moves and stuff, and show other people from their origin story?" Like, cool. Like, that's what they did for this series. Like, the intricate parts of, like, as a comic book fan, if you're looking for a movie, like, obviously you have the Avengers, obviously you have Winter Soldier, obviously you have the big Avengers movies, and obviously you have The Disney Plus additions, you got all those shows that if you're, hankering for some live action Marvel, you can still satiate these stories, minus not being canon. But if you're looking for like TVMA, like balls to the wall, gristle, blood dripping, like the gnarliest, like up there, it's same TVMA level as Deadpool. Like, it's insane. Like, you what? On Marvel though? Daredevil. And Daredevil does this in the comic book, so this isn't me like fanboying. I don't even have a whole bunch of Daredevil comics like that. But if someone is like, hey, I like Raid and I like Raid 2, which we'll get into another podcast eventually. I still have to look at the movie. I've only seen bits and pieces. If I look, talk about Raid, I can't talk about, dude, like, same thing if I was trying to talk about Ambak or something like this. I've never seen that film. I can't talk on that. But anyway, for anybody that is a Marvel fan, and you don't have to be a super Marvel fan, you don't have to like everything that Marvel brings to the table, you have to get a head nod to this depiction of Daredevil. It is the best comic to film adaptation. Period. I will hear nothing otherwise. No, nothing. No. Not even The Watchmen. The Watchmen was cool. They even had a TV series about it. Like, I'll have something talking about Watchmen. Shouts out to Alan Moore. Oh, is my nerd mask slipping? I'm sorry. If I talk about other people with beards, I will seem like I'm just bearding it up, but it's not. So, the reasoning also you could put under why this Daredevil series was good was the buildup of the characters. You got over 10 episodes a season and over an hour, so this is 50 minutes per episode. And it's not mindless dialogue, it's not just filler. It actually ties into a story. If you are a modern film aficionado, not even if you're Roger Ebert or whoever that guy's name is who looks at films, and not even if you're Rotten Tomatoes, not even if you're IMDb, whatever that is, Wikipedia for Hollywood, I guess. But I mean, for me, this depiction, you can't even really even compare it to anything else as a television live action series that shows the non-cosmic parts of what Peter Parker and the rest of the Avengers were experiencing. And so just in how the gritty aspect of what he was working with has me up in arms, because I want to design a character and I actually already have one. But not as to be like, oh, well, he has to be blind. See, this is where, as an artist, you have to understand that there's borrowing and stealing. Now, great artists borrow, other artists steal, and stealing an idea, you just generally don't want to rip off the entirety of what is inspiring you.